The scripture reading for this morning's service will be from 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 8 through 10. Again, that's going to be 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 8 through 10. I'll be reading from the King James Version. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you.
Thank you. Good morning, church. Good morning. You know, it's always a blessing to be able to stand before you. We got up out of our beds this morning in our right minds, clothed, have the ability and the freedom to assemble in the house of the Lord this morning, be able to fellowship, worship, and praise the holy name of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. It's always good to see each and every one of you. If you're visiting with us this morning, we want you to know that you are our welcome guests. We're pleased to have you join us in our worship today, and we pray that you'll find our service to the Lord to be both edifying and uplifting to you, and we ask that at the end of the service that you don't rush off when you have an opportunity to meet you. And it's always truly an honor to be and a privilege to be able to stand before you and bring forth the Lord's word. Peace be with you all that are in Christ Jesus. And I want to let you know this morning that God loves you. He's alive. As I stand before you today, that I believe in his Son, the one they call Jesus, because he lives, and without him I can do nothing. But with him all things are possible according to his purpose. And as we just sang, you know, cares all past, home at last, ever to rejoice. Yeah. I want to take this opportunity to thank the leadership of the congregation for this opportunity, Gilbert. And I mean that because I found out that Brother Norman and Sister Carolyn were going to be leaving last Saturday. I didn't realize that they weren't going to be here. And we was at our men leadership class. And Gilbert comes to me and he says, you know, we're doing leadership and everything, but Brother Norman's not going to be here. You think you can stand in and preach? And I was like, huh? He's like, yeah, you think you stand in and preach? We're supposed to always be ready. I said, well, okay, since you asked me, I guess I better go ahead and get it done, right? So, which had me want to reference some scriptures for you. 2 Timothy 4:2 says, preach the word, be it instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort, and with all long-suffering and doctrine. In other words, it says, preach God's message willingly, even if it isn't popular to do so. Correct people, point out their sins, but also encourage them, instruct them, and always be patient. We go to 2 Timothy again, this time the second chapter in the, verse 15, where it reads, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightfully dividing the word of truth. Again, it says to do your best to win God's approval as a worker who doesn't need to be ashamed and one who teaches only the true message of the Lord. And then we move over to 1 Peter 3:15, where it tells us, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and in fear. In other words, again, it says, honor Christ and let him be the Lord of your life. Let him be the leader of your life, the head of your life. Always be ready to give an answer when someone asks you about your hope. And as I read these scriptures, again, there has to be a readiness that's required in our Christian walk. And see, with the man standing here before you, it should not be no different for me than it should be that same requirement for each and every Christian, that we need to be able to preach God's message willingly, that we should not be ashamed to teach and to teach only the true message of God and to honor Christ and let him be the head of our life. And always be ready to give an answer when someone asks you about your hope, which segues really nicely into our lesson this morning. Go back to 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 6 and 7, where it says, "Wherein we greatly rejoice now, we rejoice, though now for a season. If need be, ye are in heaviness, though manifold temptations. But the trial of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto the praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ." So in other words, we'll have to go through hard trials, but our faith will be like gold that has been tested with fire. And these trials will prove that our faith is worth much more than gold, which can be destroyed. And our trials or our adversities will show that we will be given praise and honor and glory when Jesus Christ returns. Scriptures also tells us from our reading this morning that we must be on guard. We must stay awake, that our enemy, our adversary, Satan, the devil, is like a roaring lion, and he's sneaking around to try to find someone to devour. But we must resist the devil and stay strong in our faith. And you know that all over the world, the Lord's followers are suffering and facing adversities just like we are. And as Christians, we need to understand that life's adversities will help us see God's will for his purpose in our lives. However, we must not confuse ourselves by giving reference to our trials to the wiles and the destructive nature of our adversary, the devil. And what I mean by that? See, we're all human. We all have things that go on in our lives. But how many times have you heard someone say, let's say they got something going on with them, they're trying to get somewhere, or they're having health issues, or something happens on their job, or something happens in their family, okay? And the first thing they say, or that what I call the Murphy's Law effect. The Murphy's Law effect is whatever can go wrong will go wrong. Right? So you have something unfortunate happen, and someone is really quick to say, boy, the devil is really working hard in my life today. You know, that's the first thing somebody wants to say. And I'm here to tell you this morning, don't be so quick. Don't be so quick to give Satan something that he did not give you. Okay? Don't be so quick to give him something that he, don't give him that kind of credit. We have to be able to understand that there is a stark difference. A very stark difference between adversity and the adversary. And that's what we want to talk about this morning. Okay, there is a stark difference between the adversity and the adversary. See, when you go through adversity, when you're facing adversity, it can make you stronger. Okay? But the adversary will make you think you're weak. When you go through adversity, it will humble you. Okay? But the adversary says, it's always somebody else's fault. It can't be me. Adversity will make you say, I know the Lord will make a way for me somehow. And the adversary will say, it's every man for himself. He will cause doubt. He will cause fear. Where the adversity can help you bring hope. With adversity, there's always a lesson to be learned. We can go over to Ephesians 5 and 15 where it says, look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise. There's always a lesson. There's a lesson in loss. There's a lesson in failure. Think about this for a minute. How do you know if you are full if you've never been hungry? How do you know if you're healthy if you've never been sick? And how do you know if you're successful if you've never failed? There is a balance that needs to be met by all of us. And scriptures tell us this, blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive a crown of life, which the Lord has promised to them that love him. James 1 and 12. See, God will bless you if you don't give up, when your faith is being tested, and when you draw closer to him. You know, there's one story that we always go to in the Bible when we look at adversity. Okay, out of nowhere, out of the blue adversity, we always go and we reference the book of Job, right? Because we know that in the book of Job, it says in the scriptures that he was blameless. He was upright. He feared God. He turned away from evil. Okay? And God knew this. He was doing well in life. We know this from the readings. Okay? We also know from the readings that the adversary or the devil was going to and fro from earth. Okay? And looking for someone. And God said, Have you considered my servant Job? Why? Because God knew he was upright. He knew that about him. But what does the book tell us moving on in the book of Job? We know that Job lost everything. God allowed Satan to take everything away from Job, but his life. And then, as scripture goes, he took everything, his children, he took his livestock. And then when Job would not turn away from the Lord, then Satan went back to God, and God said, you can do everything, but you can't kill him. So he took his health. All of a sudden, he had boils and everything, the Bible tells us, on his body. And yet, he still did not turn away from God. He still did not stop turning away from God. But what Job does is, I know it's something that all of us at one time or another, can ask, what is going on in my life? You can sit there and try to ponder things and say, what happened? Everything was going just great. Then all of a sudden, everything just stopped. What happened? What did I do? What did I do? And this is what Job is saying. Job is so distressed. Job is so down that Job says, I wish I wasn't born. Job says, take my life. Job said, I don't know what I did, but I'm sorry. Job said, God, when are you just going to take my life away from me? You know, I kind of attribute this to going into this next piece here. I kind of attribute it to if you're driving down the road with your kids and you're going somewhere and there's nothing to see and the road is flat. And the road is long, and the road is flat, and the road is long, and it's an 8-hour drive, and the kids are in the back seat, and they're steady saying, are we there yet? Are we there yet? Are we there yet? Are we there yet? That little bit that I did with you guys was annoying, wasn't it? Imagine, if you will, if this is Job saying to God, when are you going to take me out of here? I can't do this. I can't do this. I can't do this. I read a passage in the scripture that God actually checks Job on this. He checked him on it. He says to Job, right around chapter 40, he says, dress for like a man, and I will question you. This is God talking to Job. And you will make it known to me. Will you even put me in the wrong? Will you condemn me that you may be in the right? Have you an arm like God, and can you thunder with a voice like this, like his? Adorn yourself with majesty and dignity. Clothe yourself with glory and splendor. Pour out the overflowings of your anger and look on everyone who is proud and abase them. Look on everyone who is proud and bring them low. Tread down the wicked where they stand. Hide them in the dust together. Bind their faces in the world below. Then I will also acknowledge you that your own right hand can save you. In other words, if you can do what I'm doing, then you do it. Otherwise, be cool and let me handle it. Okay? I say that because that's the way God works in our life too. You can always plead, you can plead, but God's timing, he's going to do it when he wants to do it. And here's a piece of the scripture right here where God is like, can you do all these things? Like the kids in the backseat, can you drive? Do you know where you're going? You have no idea, do you? So be still. This is what God is saying. Job had to humble himself to this. He had to humble himself to this. In Matthew, and Jesus Christ kind of also supports this. Jesus Christ says in 4:7, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. See, we have to trust in his timing, because no matter how hard or difficult we believe the situation to be, we shouldn't be so big and we shouldn't be so bad that we think we can psych out and challenge God. And that's what we do sometimes when we're in the face of our adversity, because we don't know all the answers. And see, we need to be able to trust the Lord. But to trust the Lord, we have to trust his timing too. I want to go back to Job for a minute. Because see, what happened in that story was that Job had to end up praying for his friends. And I forgot to mention that the fact that his own friends said to him, you know, you must have did something bad to God for him to do you the way he's doing you. You must have did something bad to him. His own wife told him to curse God and die. See, this is what happens sometimes when we're so down. We make assumptions of what's happening to somebody's life, not knowing what God's intentions are. Scriptures tells us in the book of Job that those same people that was telling Job that he must have did something, God was angry with them because they were telling him stuff that they didn't know anything about. He said, he's talking too much. So what had to happen? Job ended up having to pray for those same people that were saying to him that, you know, you must have did something wrong. And then we know the rest of the story, don't we? We know that he was made whole. Job was made whole. He was able to get, he had beautiful children, 7 more sons, 3 more daughters. And his lifestyle, everything came back to him in abundance. And he lived a long life. But we have to understand that there was a reason why Job had to go through what he had to go through. Just like everything, every adversity we had to go through, we have to go through. Oh, and by the way, the devil ain't that, he's not that powerful. God allowed Satan to work on Job's life. He didn't do it on his own. He doesn't have that kind of power. So that's why we got to be careful in what kind of power we give him, in air quotes, if you will. But we have to trust the Lord. We have to trust in his timing. As Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says, trust in the Lord with all thy heart. Lean not into thine own understanding. In all ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct our steps. And in fact, every one of us in attendance tonight, today, have to trust God's timing. For whatever it is, we have to trust his timing when it comes to birth and death, crying and laughing, planting and reaping, embracing and parting, finding and losing, keeping and giving, listening and speaking, war and peace, and success and adversity. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap, and we faint not. Life is a test. Life is a test. And we all know that. We've heard that before. And sometimes test taking can be stressful even when you know the material. You know, I know we've got some students in here, and I know some of you, and I remember when I was in school, pulling some of them all-nighters, making sure not only did you know the material, but you know it verbatim, that you can almost recite it, that you are so confident in what you know. You are so confident in what you can do until you get in that room and have to take that test. All of a sudden, your palms start to sweat. All of a sudden, the first line, you can't remember the first line of the test. And the first line of the test is, what's your name? It gets that bad sometimes, yes. I make light of it, but it is the truth. Because when you're going through a test, you almost forget what you know that you know that you know, right? And so we have this test-taking anxiety. This is why we are tested in this life, so that God can let us know, listen, you have to know what you know all the time. But when you're going through your adversity, just from the scripture I've just read, you have to know that God is going to take care of you, but you've got to keep doing the right thing. You can't turn away because you're going through something. You have to continue to do the right thing and let others know that I know I have a God that has my back, front, and sides, but I can still do the right thing even though I'm facing this adversity. You know, and again, it's not just words, it's actions to it. When we look at the Bible, there's actions to knowing how to face this particular adversity. We go over to Matthew 4. We look at Jesus Christ in the wilderness. We look at Satan tempting Jesus Christ. This is a great example of what happens when you know what you know what you know. Because Satan tries, the scripture tells us Christ had been in the wilderness for 40 days. He was hungry. Okay, he was tired. Okay, he was weary. His flesh was weary. And Satan comes and tempts him. Take these rocks and turn them into bread. Jesus knew the word. It is written, man shall not live by bread alone. He says, he takes him over to the temple. He said, jump off. He said, the angels could be deployed from heaven. He said, you don't test God. He says, Satan takes Jesus to a mountaintop. He says, just serve me and all this will be yours. He said, I will worship the Lord. Okay, it is written. It is written. I know what I know what I know. Get away from me. Okay? Get away from me. I know what I know what I know. James 4 and 7 says, submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. See, his job, we as people, we give the devils, every time something bad happens, it's the devil's fault. It's not the devil's fault every time. The only thing he can do is cast doubt. All he can do is to cast aspersions on what you know. This is what he did with Jesus Christ. Think about it. He even used scripture to Jesus Christ. But Jesus knew better. He knew better. And so we have to know better too. We have to understand that the strength of the strength of the adversary is truly our weakness in faith. That's a heavy statement. The strength of the adversary is our weakness in faith. Anytime we doubt what God can do, the adversary steps in and he feeds that doubt. Then it grows. And it grows in ways that we all can be familiar with. It grows into stress. It grows into anxiety. It grows into fear. It grows into hatred. It grows into wickedness and so on. And so on, and so on. So we cannot be deceived. We cannot be deceived. Scripture tells us, do not be deceived, my beloved brothers. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. There's no change in what God said he was going to do and what he is going to do. Of our own will, he has brought us forth by the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. James 1, 6 and 18. And I don't want to sugarcoat it with anybody. I know adversity can be tough. I know there's people that's going through grief, people who's gone through loss of jobs, people who are having health issues, whatever it is, that adversity can be hard. There's folks who have to question what happened. I don't even know how I got here. Okay, those are real life issues for us. Okay, it can be real tough sometimes. And when it gets real tough sometimes, when it gets real, real tough sometimes, and even not, pray. Pray. Pray without ceasing. The effectual fervent prayer of the righteous availeth much. Jesus says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Know that the trying of your faith worketh patience, that ye may behold wanting nothing. Think about how many times that Jesus prayed in the garden. You think Jesus wanted to die on the cross, that flesh? He said, if it be thy will, take this cup away from me. Okay? But not my will, your will be done. And that's what we have to do. Okay? Jesus had to face adversity. Paul faced adversity. There's folks all over the Bible that face adversity. And we will face adversity. And when we are facing adversity, there's a reason behind that. Because God has a work for us. He promised he would never forsake us. He would never leave us. But when we come through that adversity, we are a different person. We are different people. We have to give that testimony. How many times you say, I used to be here, but God. This happened to me one time, but God. I didn't know where I was going to go, but God. Okay? It was the adversity that made you stronger. Okay? But when we were weak, when we thought we couldn't do it, that was the adversary telling you. What keeps you up at night? Okay? Why can't you sleep? You know, that's the adversary in your ear. You know, that ain't going to happen for you. That ain't going to happen for you. Think about Eve in the Garden of Eden. Think about that. Think about God gave them a specific instruction, Adam and Eve. Y'all can eat from any tree in the garden. Just don't touch the one in the middle of the garden. And here's the serpent coming to Eve. How come you can't eat from that tree? The guy said we can't eat from that tree because we'll die. Ah, you ain't going to die. You ain't going to die. He just don't want you to know what he knows. Okay? Now, that's the devil talking to Eve. But what does he say to us? What does he say to you? You ain't going to make it. You're going to struggle that for the rest of your life. No, I'm going to worship the Lord. I know what God promised me. Okay? I know what the promise is. I know what he said in his book, that he'll never leave me, he'll never forsake me. So I need to do his will. I don't care what I'm going through. That's what the adversity is. The adversity is supposed to make you stronger because you know that if you're going through something, you must be something in the eyes of the Lord. And we need to understand that. But if you ain't being bothered, you need to be bothered. And that's the truth. And that's something that we can all relate to. You can sit there and you can think about that. That's why we're here today. because we believe in the promise of the Lord. 2 Corinthians 4, 7, 9 says, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Keep your faith in the Lord. Never gives up. Never give up. Just like it says in 2 Corinthians 4, that our bodies are going to gradually die. But we ourselves are being made stronger each day. These little troubles, these little adversities that are getting us ready for an eternal glory that will make all of our troubles seem like nothing. Things that are seen don't last forever, but things that are not seen are eternal. That's why we must keep our minds on the things that cannot be seen. Humbly giving your burdens to God, as written in Matthew 11. Stay obedient to the word, where it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord with all the Lord thy God, and him shall only shall I serve. That's the lesson this morning. So if you're here this morning, you're not a member of the Lord's church, it's quite simple. What must I do to be saved? Understand that God has already done his part by sending his son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for the remission of sin. That whoever shall believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Your part, if you so choose, you've heard his word. Believe in his word, repent of your sins, confess that Jesus is Lord, be baptized, and come up out of the water to walk in the newness of life. And God then adds you to his church, Acts 2 and 47. Not by vote or by decisions of men, but by God alone, he adds us to his church. And if you're already a Christian, and you're strayed away for whatever reason, remember the Father is waiting to rejoice and celebrate in your return. Jesus would say in John 10:10, that the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I come that they might have life, and they might have it in more abundantly. More abundantly. If you are in need of prayer, we will pray with you. We will pray for you. Prayer works. And listen, don't let the tricks of the adversary deny you the blessings of your adversity. And understand that just because you have adversity and being bothered by the adversary, we also have an advocate, which is Jesus Christ. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. You can come just as you are. Whatever your needs are this morning, we ask that you come forward, make them known on the first, have a seat on the first pew, as together we stand and sing the song of invitation.